ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
If you're set and ready, you know what? So am I.
The Mighty Challenge.
25 questions, 5 categories. Our categories tonight are category number 1, bread and butter. Bread and butter. Category number 2, Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. All right. Category number 3, geography. Category number 4, science and nature. Category number 5, entertainment. So bread and butter, Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, geography, science and nature, entertainment. Who's going to kick us off here tonight? Sophie in Glen Iris is up for the challenge. Hi, Soph.
Hi, Phil.
What do you reckon? Bread and butter, Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, geography, science and nature, entertainment.
I'm going to go with bread and butter.
Bread and butter. Pretty basic.
Hope so.
I do like a slice of fresh bread and butter just on its own. Nothing wrong with it.
Do you go for the expensive imported butter or do you have a nice Australian butter?
I just go with Aussie butter.
Oh, good.
I don't get buying. I mean, butter's butter, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Are you an expensive imported butter person, Sophie?
No, but I know people who are, and you just think.
I know.
Well, our cows have got beautiful pasture.
And they're nearby. It's got to be fresh.
They're not many food miles.
No, I agree with you. I'm the same. All righty, bread and butter. Question number 1, which appropriately titled electronic instrumental song was a number 1 hit for Hot Butter in 1972?
Oh, I think it could have been Popcorn.
Is that your answer?
That's my answer.
Correct. Boy, are you going to be sorry that I did this? Yes, I know. Sorry. Sorry, everyone. It was Popcorn, exactly, was a number 1 hit for Hot Butter in 1972. All righty, we're in bread and butter. We're staying here.
Yes, please.
Question number 2. Which flatbread takes its name from the Greek word for bread or cake?
I think it might be pita.
Is that your answer?
That's my answer.
Correct. Yes, it is. Pita bread, which looks, I mean, it does look like the same as other flatbreads to me, but anyway, it's a special thing, I guess. Question number 3, we're in bread and butter.
Yes, please.
What type of clarified butter is traditionally used in Hindu religious rituals?
I'm going to say ghee.
Ghee, yes, correct. Ghee, a sort of clarified butter, isn't it?
I believe so.
Is used in Hindu religious rituals and also lots of Indian cooking as well. Ha-ha, Robin says, thanks for the earworm. No, you're very... thanks for nothing. Woz says the ultimate earworm. If you're not behaving yourself tonight, Woz, I will play it again. Elaine from Croydon South must like it. She says, don't apologise. I love popcorn. You can't love it, can you, Sophie? Can you love it?
That song, that instrumental, no, I don't think so.
I don't think you can love it. I don't think you can love it. You can tolerate it. Question 4, even that. Question 4, we're in bread and butter.
Yes, thanks.
What type of butter would you usually find in a Tibetan's cup of tea?
in a Tibetan's cup of tea, I reckon you'd find yak butter.
Correct. Yes. The butter of yak.
Butter of yak. Boy, oh, boy. It's a funny colour as well, I think. The yak milk's a funny colour. Maybe it's green.
What, they don't have milk in their tea, they have butter in their tea.
Makes
it. Well, whatever makes them go up and down the next pass, I suppose, but gee. Yeah. Butter in tea? I don't think so. Question number 5. This for a clean sweep of bread and butter. What's going on here, Soph?
I don't know.
You haven't been in this kind of form for a while.
No, I haven't. It's true.
Do you know Latif, by the way?
Do I know?
Latif.
Don't think so.
Phil, I like Sophie's wisdom, says Latif. There you go. All right, question number 5, last one in bread and butter. Which type of fluffy Indian bread is traditionally cooked in a tandoor?
Fluffy Indian bread.
What type of fluffy Indian bread is traditionally cooked in a tandoor?
And they slap it on the side of the tandoor. I think it might be naan. N-double-A-N.
Correct. Yeah, I was about to say naan. But it is, yes, it's a naan. That's right. They slap it on the side of the tandoor and then peel it off when it's cooked. It's very good. Very good when it's fresh. My texter says popcorn still 1,000% more preferable than baby shark. As an earworm.
Oh, goodness. I worked with a fellow who said the only way you could get rid of an earworm was to replace it with another earworm.
Yeah, I think that's right. You have to think. I find the only way is you have to think yourself out of them. Gary in Perth says, Phil, how dare you? Of course you can love this song, Popcorn. I love it. And don't you dare tell me otherwise. It's fun and frivolous. It's only irritating to the snobbish. Oh, gee. I have a very good slap from Gary. Okay, Gary. I'm walking away from popcorn. My hands are in the air. Question number 6. Okay, well, we've got to move on because you've cleaned up it with bread and butter. 5 on the trot. Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, geography, science and nature, entertainment. Someone says on the text line, Soph is popping off. Yeah.
Yeah. could I please have entertainment, Phil?
Yeah, you can. Bob from Coolangup says, whenever anyone gets a clean sweep, all I can hear is Tom Gleason from Hard Quiz shouting, 5 from 5! That's true. He does do that, doesn't he?
He does.
5 from 5! Hannah in Sydney reckons cheese naan is the thing to go for. I like that. I like naan of all kinds. It's very good. All right, question number 6. Did we say geography?
Entertainment.
Oh, sorry, entertainment. My apologies. Question number 6. Quote, today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. Are the opening lyrics to which 1995 song?
It's Oasis, and I believe it's Wonderwall.
It is. Wow. Sophie.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but you never really had a doubt. The way I do about you now.
Yes, Sophie, that's very good. Now, we've had a contribution here. You know, Latif says, he was enjoying your wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, someone says you didn't get the joke, you see, because Latif was being clever. Sophia means wisdom.
I did know that, but I didn't appreciate it because I thought I was being wise with the bread and butter answers, but it's yeah, okay.
That's all right. There you go. Okay. Nice work, Sophie, says Liz from Ballarat. Why do all Oasis songs I know sound the same?
Because they are.
Oh, because they are, Liz. There's a reason for it, because they all do sound the same. Annette from Pitt Down says, to get rid of an earworm, say a nursery rhyme. Gary in Perth, it was never meant with, no, Gary, taken as found, don't you worry about a thing. Jane from Homebush had Wonder World. The worst earworm is the Mr. Squiggle song. Yeah, well, there's plenty in that category. All right, question number 7, entertainment. Gee, you've had 6 on the trot, Sophie.
Oh, tremendous.
Entertainment.
Thank you.
Rambo, First Blood, Part 2, was primarily set in which Asian country?
Oh, I haven't seen it, but I'm going to guess Vietnam.
Correct. Ooh. Gee whiz, look at this. 7 on the trot, but that is correct.
He is a legend of war. A soldier without a country. You know his name. And you know what he's capable of. War is in your blood. You're pushed. Killing's as easy as breathing. Live for nothing. Or die for something. Your call.
May not be your cup of tea, so I don't know. So it doesn't matter.
Not so much.
Fun fact, Wonderwall is also the name of George Harrison's first solo album, says Dave from Northmead. How about that? I didn't know that.
Oh.
Mike from North Perth says, Phil, my daughter asked ChatGPT yesterday who would win the Melbourne Cup, and let's say she won. Oh, did ChatGPT get it right, didn't they? I think someone told me that Perplexity also got it. Anyway, question number 8. You know you get a black magnet if you get 10 in a row, Sophie.
Oh, don't say that, Phil. I've gone down
Oh, have you?
The black magnet's been in, yeah.
Oh.
On a cricket question when the answer was Bradman, and I can't remember the other one.
Oh, no. And the answer was Bradman. It's like getting a literature question and the answer is Shakespeare. You kick yourself,
exactly,
don't you?
Exactly.
Or getting a Shakespeare question and the answer is Hamlet. You kick yourself.
I have had 12 way, 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 way back in time before the black magnet. So.
Oh, okay. When the questions were easier.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Question number 8. Well, question number 7 was Rambo First Blood Part 2 was primarily set in which Asian country? Question number 8. Rambo 3 was primarily set in which Asian country?
Oh my goodness. So Rambo Part 3. Oh, which Asian country? Look, I'm going to sort of go out on a limb and say Vietnam again.
Oh, you're trying to second guess the challenge.
Well, maybe I shouldn't.
Not correct. No.
Well, that's all right.
Do you know what? What do you mean that's all right? That's magnificent. 7 on the trot, Sophie. That is absolutely magnificent. Good on you.
Yes, I'm very happy with that. Thank you, Phil.
Good on you. Thanks, Soph. Good on you, Bob.
Bye.
Sophie. Yes, well, you're right, Latif. It is. So Sophia does mean wisdom, and how about that? 7 on the trots. Nice going. Gary's got the right answer here. Bob from Coolangup, no, that's not correct. Jane from Homebush says, if we call pita bread, are we just saying bread? Yeah, probably. We probably are. Lorella says, yep, Sophie's living up to her name. She certainly was. All righty, let's move along here. Matt from Perth. G'day, Matt.
Oh, g'day, Phil.
Hi. Sorry, you had to wait a long time there, but gee, Sophie was pretty good, wasn't she?
Tell you what, I'm glad Sophie cleaned up the bread and butter questions. I didn't know any of them.
Yeah, I know. She was very good on bread and butter. Question number 8, we're in Rambo territory, entertainment. Rambo 3 was primarily set in which Asian country?
I think that might have been Afghanistan.
Correct, it was, yes. Rambo 3 was set primarily in Afghanistan. Rambo 2, First Blood, in Vietnam. Rambo 3 was set in Afghanistan. You can stay in entertainment if you like.
No, I'll go to geography, thanks, Saul.
Okay, geography. Question number 9. What's the only sea with Asian, African and European shores?
Oh, Asian, Oh, the Red Sea.
Not the Red Sea.
No.
Sorry, Matt, no. Sorry, okay. Matt, no. Not the Red Sea. George in Oakley says, I'm sure they'll use ChatGPT to predict the winners of the Football World Cup next year. Nicer than using those octopuses. yeah, the octopuses are fun though, aren't they? Yes, well, I'm sure they will. But, yeah, no, I was just trying to recall, I heard a report today of which AI machines got it right. Did Perplexity get it right or get it wrong? Anyway, one of them did actually predict the winner of the Melbourne Cup. Tom from Yuengai. G'day, Tom.
Good evening.
Hello. Question number 9 we're up to. Geography. What's the only sea with Asian, African and European shores?
Adriatic.
Not the Adriatic. Sorry, Tom. No, not the Adriatic. Shelley in Croydon. Hi, Shelley.
Hello, Phil.
Sorry. Hello, Shelley. Hello, Phil. Hello, Shelley. Oh, I'm all right. Question number 9, geography. What's the only sea with Asian, African and European shores?
I think that would be the Mediterranean Sea.
Correct. Yes, it is. The Mediterranean Sea has Asian shores, African shores and European shores.
Yep.
Question number 10. We're in geography.
Yep.
If you landed at Orly Airport, which country would you be in?
Orly. I don't think I've heard of Orly Airport.
No good?
I can't even guess the country because I've never heard of it.
Thanks, Shelley. Thank you. Bye. No worries. Craig's on the road. G'day, Craig.
Phil, long time no speak.
Yeah, I know. I thought if you had a flat tyre and taken a long while to get it back on the.
Mate, I get a flat tyre every second day now doing my new job. I'm working on the other side of the country now.
Whereabouts?
I'm doing a fly in, fly out job out carting iron ore on the Goldfields Highway from Wiluna down to Leonora.
You're kidding.
I'm actually driving the largest on-road truck combination in the world, mate, heavy weight and lengthwise.
What are you carting iron ore?
Iron ore. I carry 150 tons of iron ore in the load.
I thought it all went in the train.
On the highway.
I thought it all went in the train.
This is a road train. I'm driving a four-trailer road train that's 60 metres long.
Hang on, you got four trailers on the back?
Four trailers, 114 tyres. weighs it's 60 tons empty, and when it's loaded up, it's about the gross weight's about just over 210 tons. So I carry 150 tons of iron ore each load.
Hang on, where do you take it to? A railhead somewhere?
I take it from the mine in Wiluna.
Yeah.
Down to the railhead at near Leonora, at a place called Malcolm Rail.
How long does that take?
Oh, it's about 280 kilometres each way, and it goes on a train there, and then the train takes it down to Esperance, and then it goes on at Esperance, it goes onto a ship, and then goes over to China. Then I suppose Timu processes it, and then posts it back to us piece by piece.
Now, Craig, I suppose by the time you get to the railhead, you're not exactly going to get a backload, are you?
Nah, well, I was going to give a, I was going to give a shout out to the Duchess of Dubbo.
Yeah.
So give her a hoo-hoo. I also want to, of course, she might enjoy that because she knows that she likes us drunkies.
Good on you, mate. Good on you. Wow. I don't suppose if anybody's coming in the other direction, you've got right of way, I guess, have you?
No, there's mainly just a lot of road trains heading passing each night. We just have to get right over on the fog on the left-hand side of the road, just concentrate as we pass each other. Just out here, the most important thing is doing everything safely. So,
gee, I would think so, yeah. I would think so. Gee, I hope the roads...
Certainly a big change from the Hume Highway anyway.
I hope they're paying you a quid for this, Craig.
I'm not a charity film, so... and I'm not here on holiday either, mate, so, yeah.
Well, all righty. Where do you fly back to? Back home or...?
Back to Melbourne. So I do 4 weeks on,
yeah.
And then I fly back home for 2 weeks and then fly back out again for another four.
So you do 4 weeks... Well, you do 7 days, do you?
No, I do 6 days off, before 6 days in a row, with 1 day off every week, 24-hour break once a week. It's certainly been a change, and I'm in a lot of new challenges, but probably the biggest thing getting used to is just having to change tyres, like every second day. I always seem to get one at the end of the shift that I have to change before I knock off.
You reckon every second day? Wow. How do you change a tyre on a truck that's got 114 tyres?
Yeah, well, you just need a rattle gun to rattle it off, jack it up, then swap the tyre out. I could do it in about 5 to 10 minutes now because I've had a bit of practice at it.
Wow.
But it's just part of the job, see? So there's no road service, your RAC man, or anything anyway. You've got to get it going yourself, you know what I mean?
You don't have the idea. Is there any camaraderie of the road, Craig? I mean, like another driver pulls over and gives you a hand?
Yeah, mate. No, we all help each other out here, mate. You couldn't do it without that, you know what I mean? So shout out to all the other guys out here that are doing it there to listen to the ABC. We're all just one big team out here.
Wow. Wow, I know there's so many people in this country, this massive country, doing interesting jobs. As you say, it's a bit different from trundling up and down the Hume.
Yeah, it is a lot different. Probably the most dangerous thing out here is there's a lot of cows wandering around the roads. There's no fences.
Oh, really?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, there's a lot of cows out here, mate. I don't see as many kangaroos, but I've seen... couple of goannas, and I've seen dingoes out here. I saw one actually earlier on tonight, dingoes.
So hang on, if you run into a cow, there's not going to be much left of the cow, is there?
Yeah, I don't want to run into anything, mate.
I know you don't, but I mean...
I can't stop, unfortunately, and I haven't hit one yet, and I plan not to, but there's not really much I can do about it, because basically, the procedures are anything on the road front, we can't jump on the brakes because of the weight.
Yeah.
So we have to gently apply the brakes, continue to drive forward, and just pull the horns on. And the truck's set up on the front of it with a steel bull bar.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, it's not going to go well for the cow when it gets... when 200 tons
hits it. No. Now, you know, I mean, Craig, a lot of people are just texting in saying, well, isn't this interesting? They say with an ocean, you know, with a container vessel, it can take something like 10 kilometres or 15 kilometres to come to a halt even if they go full astern because of the momentum. But it'd be the same with you, wouldn't it? I mean, you couldn't stop. Well, how long does it take you to stop?
Well, I'll give you a bit of an example. When I'm pulling the Leonora to head to unload,
yeah.
I actually prepare to stop 3 kilometres before my turn.
3 kilometres?
Basically I shut it down and let it coast so that way we don't cook the brakes. Because with the weight, if I hit all the brakes, it'll cook the brakes, mate. You know what I mean? They'll just fade on you. So you... I'm doing the same turns all the time, and I'm setting myself up 2 or 3 kilometres before I make the turn.
So you just
and slowing down using the gears, and got an 18-speed crash box. So I use the engine to slow the truck down.
Okay.
So it's all about just doing everything, a lot of preparation and a lot of care, because you can't do any jerky movements or harsh.
No.
You can eventually, you just have the mother of all.
Gee whiz. This is Craig on the road. Hang on, has he dropped out on us? Oh, there, yeah. Gotcha. How many spares do you carry? That,
I've only got three spares. I've got one for the spare, one for the drive, and then one spare trailer tire. But if I need more than that, I'll just borrow one off another truck that's passing by.
Okay. Gee whiz, what a life. Okay. Are you going to stick at it for long, Craig?
You there?
Yeah. How long are you going to stay doing it?
How long am I going to stay in it? Oh, hang on. The phone's still, I don't know if you can hear me, Phil, or not.
Yeah, no, I can hear you, Craig. Oh, no, he's gone. He's gone. There's a speed zone ahead of it, all right. I don't see a cop in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm going to make it home tonight. Yeah, we got you back there, Craig.
Yeah, I can hear you now, mate. Sorry, you were asking me a question.
Yeah, I was just giving you a bit of Dave Dudley, 6 days on the road there.
Yeah, this is day at night number six for me, so I've got my 24-hour break tomorrow after I finish this shift.
Wires has texted in and he says, you wonder why I don't drive trucks anymore.
Say good day to Wires for me, yeah.
Good on you, Craig. Now, tell me, we better get a question in. Question number 10. We are in geography. If you landed at Orly Airport, what country would you be in?
I'm not exactly sure, but I'm just going to have a guess at the United States.
It's not the US, Craig, no.
Okay, then.
Thanks for the chat, mate. That was very interesting and just intriguing.
Yeah, anytime, Phil.
Good on you, mate. Thank you.
Right, safe travels to everyone, too.
Yeah, you too. Isn't it? Yeah, people do interesting things in this big country of ours. Bruce, sorry, I didn't ask him how heavy the wheels were, but he says with a rattle gun and a jack he can just get it off, but... I do not imagine those wheels weigh nothing, no. Jen in Perth says the bloke working on the truck in the north of WA is brilliant. Not an uncommon work story in the north and east of WA. It's about at least half of Western Australia. These workers who fly in are the life force of the mining industry. Well, that's true too. It's a different life, isn't it? Gee. We're question number 10 we're up to. Sorry, Dave, from Mount Collar, you've been waiting there. My apologies, but... that was a pretty interesting conversation with Craig.
Thanks, Philip. Yeah, it was very interesting. Actually, I wonder how he lifts the tyres, often back on, you know, with the
bad
ones. Yeah.
I mean, he must be able to manhandle them, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose you have to be pretty strong.
four trailers he's got on the back, 200 tonnes of stuff. Gee whiz. All right. Question number 10, we're in geography. If you landed at Orly Airport, which country would you be in?
I think that's France.
Yes, it is. You'd be in France if you landed at Orly. Question number 11, we're in geography, but you can move anywhere you like.
No, I'll stay in geography.
Geography? All right, the ringgit. The ringgit is the currency of which Asian country?
I think that's Malaysia.
Correct. It is, yes. The ringgit is the Malaysian currency. Correct. 9, 10, 11. Okay, question number 12. We're in geography.
Yeah, we'll stay there.
What type of large knife appears on the flag of Angola?
Angola. I'll just say a machete.
Correct. Yes, it is. It's a machete. Bam, bam, bam. Three reeled off. Very nice. Harry in the Bay had Malaysia. So did Lorella. Good. Harry in the Bay said Orly's in France. Paris, to be specific. Yes, it is. It is. All right. Question number 13. We're in geography. Last one here. Doha is the capital city of which Middle Eastern country?
Oman. Oman is Doha. Oman. No, Oman's Muscat. Yemen, Doha. It's one of those ones near Saudi Arabia. I'll go back to Doha. I'll go back to Oman.
Oman. No, David, it's not Oman. Thanks, Dave. Sorry.
Thanks, Philip.
Thank you. Bye-bye. No, it's not. Ralph says, Phil, g'day. We certainly learned a lot listening to The Mighty Challenge. I think I could bluff my way through a FIFO job interview now. Oh, don't do it. They'd take you outside and throw you the keys to a truck like that. I don't think you'd be... I don't suppose those trucks have keys, do they? I wouldn't think so. Question 13. Now, who's been hanging on here? Sorry, we've had some pretty interesting contestants tonight. Ray from Yurunga. G'day, Ray.
Hi, Phil.
Question number 13, geography.
Yeah.
Doha is the capital city of which Middle Eastern country?
What did we have? Oman. Doha. Yemen. When?
No, not Yemen, Ray. Sorry. Not Yemen. Wazza reckons the wheels on the truck on a truck weigh around 160 kilograms. Oh, really? Well, you couldn't lift that. They have a hydraulic cradle to lift them onto the truck. Okay. 160 kilos. Gee whiz. Okay. Robin says, by the way, Phil, it's like us carting grapes. How does one carry a bucket of water full to the brim, one in each hand? Answer, very carefully. We drive the trucks as if it had no brakes. Yeah. All righty. Now, who is next up here? We've got Matthew from Palmyra. G'day, Matthew.
Hey, how are you, Philip?
Not bad. Question 13. We're in geography. Doha is the capital city of which Middle Eastern country?
Okay, I'm confident with this one, and it's my go-to subject, so I'm going to say Qatar.
Correct. While my Qatar gently weeps, as Jim in Campbelltown says.
Ah, nice.
Yes. All right. It is Qatar.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, Dave from Mount Cola.
No, there's a good... good conversation there with the truck driver there up in Wiluna.
Yeah.
It's a supply chain. I tell you what there, Philip, and your conversation earlier beyond was about the, you know, the China questions and the China activities. We really got to think what's important to us.
We do. There's no question about that. Important to you right now is what are you going to do about the next category, though? Science and nature, entertainment, Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice.
So we're out of geography, yeah?
We are out of geography, yeah.
Okay, science and nature, fingers crossed. Let's go here.
Okay. Graham, by the way, says, you know the government in its wisdom removed all the rail from Wiluna to Geraldton about 50 years ago and never replaced it. So there are now, I'm guessing there are about 40 of these monster trucks carting iron ore and other minerals every day and night.
Also wheat and barley and grains.
Yeah.
I wish we were investing in our infrastructure.
I know.
Particularly
rail. Question 14, science and nature. In which month does the tropical cyclone season officially begin in Australia?
My guesstimate is... I'm going to say January.
Not January, Matthew, but thank you. Not January, no. It's not January. Andrew from Freshwater. Hello, Andrew.
Hi there, Philip. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks. Yeah. Question number 14. In which month does the tropical cyclone season officially begin in Australia?
I'm thinking that Cyclone Tracy was in December, so I'll say December.
Not December. Sorry, not December, no. Was on the Sunshine Coast. G'day, Was.
Hello, mate.
Thanks for telling me how much a truck does. But hang on, if you use a rattle gun to get the nuts off, but
yeah,
how are you going to get it off the off the wheel itself?
Well, you normally got a bar, like a cheetah bar or even a big tyre lever. You just sort of
leave it off.
Yeah, just leave it off. There's a cradle up on the back of the truck.
Yeah.
To lift the tyre down off the truck. Then you roll it back onto the cradle and then it lifts it back up, because they won't let drivers lift them up onto the truck, because they've got to put them back on the truck, obviously, or on the trailer. Or
yeah, but hang on. If the tyre you're replacing is halfway along the side of the truck, so you lever it off, it's lying on the ground.
Yeah, you've got to pick it up and roll it along the road.
So you'd have to pick up 160 kilo, I suppose you could.
Well, you just sort of roll it up. You don't actually pick it up literally off the ground. You sort of roll it up as though you're rolling a block of timber or something.
Or like you're rolling in the cheese rolling competition was.
Well, basically, yeah. I've done it quite a few times. And over there too, on them trucks, they use steel rims. They don't use alloy rims like on some of the highway trucks.
So it'd be even heavier.
Yeah, they're what they call spider rims. So they use them because they don't smash to pieces, because some of them roads out there probably smash alloy rims to pieces.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I haven't done it, but I'm licensed to do it, but I haven't done it. Like I've driven things with multiple trailers on, but this go and fly in and fly out just doesn't do it for me. I'd rather stay home like I'm doing now, mate.
Question 14. In which month does the tropical cyclone season officially begin in Australia?
Well, I would probably say February.
Not February, no.
Not February.
Not February.
Oh, it was nice to talk.
Yeah, you likewise was. Thanks for the info as well. No, not February. All righty. Jeff from Jalorup. G'day, Jeff.
Evening, Philip. How are you?
Pretty well, actually. Question 14, first question in science and nature. In which month does the tropical cyclone season officially begin?
Well, I hope I'm right for a change. I've had a bit of a bad run lately, so I'm going to go November.
Correct. Yes, yay! It is. Yeah. Cyclone Tracy was in December. The season begins in November. Hmm.
I remember Santa Never Made It Into Darwin, that song.
Yes. I know. Righto, question number 15, science and nature, if you like, or otherwise entertainment, or Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice.
I'm scared of science and nature because you're bound to put one of that periodic table in there again for me.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll stay there, science and nature, why not? Yep.
See, well, it's your choosing. Question 15, the name of which softwood, Jeff? Comes from the periodic table. No, it doesn't. The name of which softwood comes from the Spanish word for raft?
Well, I suppose I've got to go balsa wood.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
La balsa.
La balsa, okay. Cool.
All right, question number 16.
Yeah, we'll stay there.
He's on a roll now with science and nature. He doesn't care about the periodic table. Oh. Which edible garden flowers in the periodic table have a name? Which edible garden flowers have a name that means nose twister in Latin?
Nose twister.
Which edible garden flowers have a name that means nose twister in Latin?
Okay, so edible garden flowers, nasturtiums are edible. So I'll go nasturtium.
Correct.
The gasometer's on fire tonight.
How's it going? A nasturtium. Can't even say the word. Nasturtiums, yes. Which means nose twister in Latin.
Okay, there you go.
There you go. Question number 17. That's three in a row. Oof. What's going on here, Jeff?
Yeah, it makes up for many a poor week.
Oh, Jane from Mergambia had nasturtium. Sandra from Perth, the same. Lorella, nice work. Maria, good. Susie, Stella from Bayswater, good. Dinah from Woodnilling, good.
Oh, I was going to say Dinah from Woodnilling. She must be a smart lady.
I believe so.
She must be the only person in Woodnilling.
Adrian and plenty others say, strangely, by the way, balsa wood is classified as a hardwood.
Yeah.
Is that right? Because it doesn't feel very hard and it's very soft, isn't it?
Yeah, very light.
And very light. It's Harry in the base is Balsa is technically classified as a hardwood because of the size of its cells. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Question 17. We're in science and nature. Do you want to stay here?
Yeah, go for it, yeah.
In the 1780s, Antoine Lavoisier proved that which element is necessary for combustion?
Right. Which element
is necessary for combustion?
So, which element is, oh, I don't know. You know, they used to have those flintstones, but that doesn't seem right. Which element? Okay, I'm going to go flint.
Not flint. No. Sorry, Jeff. Surprised. Thank you. Bye-bye. Not flint, no, but nice work anyway. Rosa down in the corner's got it. Yes, Frank from Mount Evelyn, good. Elaine from Croydon South, good. Bob from Coolangup, Jane from Mount Gambier, nice. Now, truck wheel truck weights. Little Brother Trucker says, the standard truck tyre and rim, 11 by 22.5, weighs 45 kilograms, not 150 kgs. Tyres are in a cradle under the trailer. You slide it out, lower one side of the ground diagonally, stand it up vertically to roll. Use a tyre iron to lever the tyre roughly 1 inch off the ground onto the hub. There you go. Okay. All right. Thank you. I don't want to get into any arguments about it because I've got no idea. Johnny Chicken Tooth reckons the best way to get about to forget about an earworm is to replace it with an earwig. Thank you. Troy is from Troy's on the road in Atherton. Hi, Troy.
Yeah, how you going tonight, Phil?
Not too bad.
Craig the truckie, he doesn't know me, but I know him because one of my best mates works with Craig doing the exact same job.
Is that right?
And
hey.
Yeah, he's just he just flew home back to Perth today and he's unfortunately gotta go and have some surgery, so he won't be back at work until January. But yeah, and I've done the same job myself. I did 4.5 years in Western Australia driving the super quads and carting iron ore, and it was it's not for everybody. As I said, I'm lucky that I don't have a family, I don't have a wife and children, so yeah. To go away for 4 weeks at a time is not a big deal, but for married men and that, it's quite a long stint to be over there.
Yeah, I can imagine. I imagine it pays pretty well, does it, Troy? I mean, that'd be the payoff, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I was, like COVID time, I actually consider myself very lucky because I flew over to Western Australia one day before they shut the borders.
Yeah.
And I got stuck there, basically. They told me I could go home to Queensland, but if I went home, I would never be able to sort of come back. And so I stayed there for 10 – I worked for 10 months straight. I only had 9 days off in 10 months, basically. And, it was fantastic for me because it set me up. I came back home to Queensland and bought a house. And
you would have needed a road train to haul the dough back home, would you?
it was fantastic. And I'm actually going back over in the second week of December. I'm heading back over to Western Australia again to work at the oldest iron ore mine in Australia, which is located at Coolanobbing, west of Kalgoorlie, and that mine's been going since 1948. It was the first iron ore mine in Australia. So,
right, okay.
Yeah.
How about that? Interesting. Go on, you, Troy. Question 17, we're up to science and nature. In the 1780s, Antoine Lavoisier proved that which element is necessary for combustion?
Well, thinking of my training for firefighting, the three things needed are heat, fuel, and oxygen. So I'd say it'd have to be oxygen.
Correct. Exactly. Yes, Antoine Lavoisier proved that oxygen had to be present for combustion to occur. Question number 18. We're in science and nature, if you like. You can move to entertainment or Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. It's up to you.
No, I'll stay with Science and Nature, thanks.
Science and Nature. Despite its name, a glowworm is actually what kind of insect?
Oh, that's, a glowworm.
Despite its name, a glowworm is actually what kind of insect?
I would not have a clue. I would say a cicada.
It's not a cicada. Thanks, Troy. How are you, mate?
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the connect. See how... Isn't this funny, though, how everything... Everyone's connected, you see, in this huge land of ours. There we go. Troy's ringing up saying, hang on, I don't know Craig, but I know... A good mate of mine would know Craig because he's doing the same run. How about that? Question, I know, 6 degrees of separation, not even that, hey? Ian from Busselton. G'day, Ian.
Hi, Phil, how are you?
Pretty good, yeah. We're in...
I'm not good because I don't know what a bloody glowworm is.
Yeah, I know, it's tough, isn't it? Despite its name, a glowworm is actually what kind of insect?
A glowworm, but it do go in caves. Let me see. It's a caterpillar.
No, it's not a caterpillar.
No.
Thanks, Ian. Bye-bye. Yeah, it's not a bad suggestion, but no, not correct. Paul's on the road. G'day, Paul.
G'day, Phil. How you going?
Pretty good. Yeah, good, mate.
Just before I make a fool of myself, I'll say g'day to Ron.
Yeah.
I'll welcome Craig to the West. Keep it up, mate. We need more ore down here. The ships are waiting.
Yeah.
Then I'll say g'day to Jimmy, to Heather, to Simon, to Tara, to Ziggy and Bouncer, to Ned, and there's that bloke, we keep forgetting his name, he doesn't ring us up anymore. What's his name? That bloke.
Oh, which?
That bloke that picks on radio presenters, you know. Was,
that's
right, yeah, was.
Oh, was I?
Yeah, I'll give him a ring later and I'll fill him in on the stats about wheels and tyres too. He'd be a good handicapper, that mate.
He's getting a bit of hammering for reckoning that tyres weigh 150 kilograms, mate. No, not too much.
They weigh 70, mate.
70, you reckon? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they weigh 70, yeah.
Okay.
And we do use aluminium rims over here because the steel ones break, actually.
Oh, okay.
If he comes over here and rides on our roads, he won't want to go back home.
Question 18. Despite its name, a glowworm is actually what kind of insect?
Well, I actually think it's a flying insect of some sort, isn't it?
What kind of insect?
I'll say it's a moth.
Not a moth. Right. Sorry, Paul. Right. Good morning, mate. No, it's not a moth. Phil, Woodnilling in WA is about 400 residents across the whole shire, including Diana and me, says Annabelle. Good on you. Mike from Oak Park. G'day, Mike.
G'day, Phil. How are you?
Not bad. We're up to question 18. Science and Nature. Despite its name, a glowworm is actually what kind of insect?
Yeah, I wouldn't have a clue, but I'll just come out and say a beetle.
A beetle is correct. Yes, they are.
Oh, really?
Yes, despite its name, a glowworm is actually a beetle. As Johnny Chicken Tooth says, glowworms are an awesome little beetle. You're welcome. There you are. All righty, question number 19. We've got... that's it for Science and Nature. So we've got five in Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, or two in Entertainment. Seven left.
Oh, I'll try the two and see where we end up.
Entertainment?
Yep.
Rambo, the 2008 sequel to Rambo 3, was primarily set in which Asian country?
Wouldn't have a clue, but I'll say Thailand.
Not Thailand, Mike, no. But thank you anyway, not Thailand, no. Joanna from Newcastle. Hi, Jo.
Hello. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no. You need to be a Rambo fan here. Rambo, the 2008 sequel to Rambo 3, was primarily set in which Asian country? See, Rambo First Blood Part 2 was set in Vietnam. Rambo 3 was in Afghanistan. And Rambo, the 2008 sequel to Rambo 3, It's primarily set in which Asian country?
I have no idea. It's going to be a total guess. They have it on the map. Thailand.
No, it's not Thailand.
No.
Sorry, yeah. Thanks. Not Thailand. No, it's not. Judy from Terang. Hi, Judy.
Hello, Phil.
Where is it? Rambo, the 2008 sequel to Rambo 3, was primarily set in which Asian country?
I think Myanmar.
Correct. Yes.
Burma.
Yes, Burma and Myanmar is where Rambo was set. Okay, question number 20. Judy, what do you want to do? Stay in entertainment or you can move to Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice?
Oh, Bob and Carol, Ted and Alice.
Okay, it hasn't been very popular. No one's wanted to go here, but here we go. Question number 20. Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. In which year did Bob Hawke enter Parliament?
Oh, into Parliament. I think he was Prime Minister in 81.
Not 75. Judy, no. Thank you. Not 75. No. Cameron from South Perth. Hi, Cameron.
How are you, Philip?
Pretty good. You're still on the road to recovery?
Oh, I certainly am.
Good.
And I'd like, can I give a quick cheerio to my cousin Pam, who listens to the show just about every night.
Good on you, Pam. Hello, Pam.
She's not well herself, but
oh no.
Anyway.
Was it something you gave? It wasn't something you transmitted, Cameron.
might have been in the genes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope you get well, Pam, hi from us. Question 20, Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. In which year did Bob Hawke enter Parliament?
I think it might have been 79.
No, not 79, Cameron.
Very good.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. Thank you. 1-300-800-222. Sorry, Tom from Ocean Shores. Have you got any idea?
I do have an idea in that he won the election in March of 83. So he was in that term just prior. So I'm thinking 80 or 81 when Fraser held that election, and I'll go 81.
Not correct, I'm sorry. The Mighty Challenge. Yeah, up to question number 20 here. In which year did Bob Hawke enter Parliament? Charlie from Mount Druitt. Hello, Charlie.
Good to be with you, Phil.
Likewise, likewise, Charlie. Yeah, not bad. Have you been all right?
Yeah. I'm still breathing in and breathing out.
That's good. I like respiration, Charlie.
Yeah. Yes, we all do.
What do you reckon? In which year did Bob Hawke enter Parliament?
Enter.
Mm-hmm. Enter.
That'd be the key. I'm going to go, would it take a while to become Prime Minister after you've entered? So how about 72.
Not 72, Charlie, no. Thanks,
have a
mate.
Good night.
See ya. Bye bye. Yeah, no, not 72. Claire from Modbury. G'day, Claire.
Oh, hi, Philip.
Which year did Bob Hawke enter Parliament?
Well, I've got 2 years. I'll probably pick the wrong one. I'll say 1978.
Not correct. No.
No.
No, sorry, Claire. No, not 1978. Graham from Carinyup. G'day, Graham.
G'day, Philip.
Now, in which year did Bob Hawke enter Parliament?
Racking my brains, 1980.
Correct. Yes, it was. It didn't take him long from the time he entered Parliament to become Prime Minister. Bob Hawke entered Parliament in 1980. And he was Prime Minister by 1983, wasn't he?
Correct.
Yes, he was. Here's a little bit of Bob declaring how he was going to do this.
Under the very great pressures of the job that I have, I tend, I think, occasionally to take too much refuge in having a drink. And I think that's helped me, but on occasions I've taken that refuge too much. There have been occasions and this is a very frank thing to say, but you know, I try to be honest in answering. I don't think in the situation where you were that sort of leader, or perhaps leader of your country, that you could run that sort of risk. And in the past, occasionally, I have put myself at risk.
Mm. Yes, gave up the booze when he was Prime Minister. Question number 21. Graham?
Yes. I'm playing the same category, thanks, Phil.
Okay, Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. Carol was a 1958 single for which rocker? 1958.
Can't remember. I'll have to pass.
No good. Okie doke. Let's move on. Karen from Altona. Hello, Karen.
Hello.
Question number 21. Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. Carol is a 1958 single. For which rocker?
I know Neil Sedaka had one for Oh Carol. I don't think that's the answer. Let me think. Carol. It would be earlier.
1958.
All right. Let me think of a rocker quickly. I'll say Little Richard.
Not Little Richard. Thank you. Not Little Richard, but you were thinking about the right things here. Carol was a 1958 single for which rocker was also later covered by the Rolling Stones and the Beatles. Who are we talking about here? Richard from Osman Park. Now, it wasn't Neil Sedaka. Neil from Preston says, if Bill Hayden's to be believed, a drover's dog could have got that job in 1983. Oh, well, that yeah, he would say that, I think, wouldn't he? He would say that. Jim in Campbelltown's got the right answer here. Correct. Deb on the Gold Coast, no. And others, no. It's not Neil Sedaka. That was O'Carroll. That was O'Carroll. Latif from West Brunswick. Hi, Latif.
Hello, Phil.
Carol was a 1958 single for which rocker?
Sophie's really has the wisdom. It wasn't a joke. It was just a connection.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm glad you made it because you were quite right.
And I was going to say Neil Sedaka, but wait, since you explained a bit, Chubby Checker.
No, it's not Chubby Checker.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry, thank you. Bye-bye. Jackie says, why haven't you read out my cockchafer text, Phil? I don't know. Well, Jackie, did I see it? We get a lot. I'm sorry. Karen from Mullumbimby, no, it's not Buddy Holly. No, it's not Buddy Holly. Dan from Cloncurry. G'day, Dan.
How you going, Phil?
Not bad. Question 21. Carol was a 1958 single for which rocker?
Can I just give a bit of a shout-out to the truckies in Southern Adelaide sort of thing around the area, if that's all right?
All right, sure. Hello, truckies just in Southern Adelaide.
You know, like chasing the paychecks, chasing the white lines. Like, I appreciate everyone out there sort of thing. Like, everyone does a great job.
Mm.
Well, them fellas listening to the ABC at this time of the morning.
Good on you.
And sorry, Phil, what was your question there again?
Carol was a 1958 single for which rocker?
Karen was a 1958 single. Carol. Ooh. Mate, Phil, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to go with India, I reckon.
Mm. And there you go. Josh from Darlington, hello.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Pretty good, yeah. Question number 21, Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. Carol was a 1958 single for?
Buddy Holly's already been done, hasn't it, Phil?
Yes.
Just come on.
Not Buddy Holly.
Chuck Berry, I reckon.
Chuck Berry is Chuck Berry is correct. Yes, it was indeed Chuck Berry. All right, Josh, good work. Question 22, only four left here. Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. There's one left in entertainment if you want.
I might stick with Bob and Carol, please.
Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, right? Which sports comedy drama series stars Jason Sudeikis as an American football coach who is hired to coach an English soccer team?
Ted Lasso film?
Correct. It is. It is Ted Lasso. Yes.
Oh, Rupert. Guys have underestimated me my entire life. And for years, I never understood why. It used to really bother me. But then one day, I was driving my little boy to school, and I saw this quote by Walt Whitman. It was painted on the wall there. It said, "Be curious, not judgmental." And all of a sudden, it hits me. All them fellas that used to belittle me, not a single one of them were curious. You know, they thought they had everything all figured out, and so they judged everything, and they judged everyone. And I realized that they're underestimating me. Who I was had nothing to do with it. Because if they were curious, they would ask questions. You know?
Yeah, what a show, Josh. That first series of Ted Lasso was fantastic, wasn't it?
I bought the complete poetry of Walt Whitman after watching that.
Yeah.
What's this guy about from that exact scene that you just played?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, Whitman's, you know, the foundational American poet, isn't he?
Oh, I think incredible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just a wonderfully written series, Ted Lasso. I've recommended it to people, and when they say what the plot's about, they say, "Oh, no, I wouldn't be interested in that soccer team." No, no, no. I said, "It's not about soccer."
I think every sporting coach at any level should just watch that.
Yeah, and, I agree.
Just they'll get one small snippet of, I don't know, whether it's about humanity or whatever, managing people. Everyone should watch it.
Yeah, 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 I agree. Question 23, Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. Two left there or one in entertainment? It's up to you.
We'll stick with that, please.
Which Australian actress played the title role in the 2015 film Carol?
Margot Robbie?
No, it could have been, but no, it wasn't Margot Robbie. Thanks, Josh. See ya. Okay. Bye-bye. No, it wasn't Margot Robbie. Nellie in Lilydale. Hello, Nellie.
Hello.
Which Australian actress played the title role in the 2015 film Carol?
No idea, sorry.
Okay, thanks, Nellie. No worries. Paul is in Esperance in WA. G'day, Paul.
Hello, Phil. I know this one.
Which Australian actress played the title role in Carol in 2015?
Her Majesty Kate Blanchett.
Correct. It was Kate Blanchett. Okay, we've only got two left, one in Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice and one in entertainment.
I will go entertainment, please.
In entertainment. Question number 24. Quote, "Midnight, not a sound from the pavement." The opening lyrics of which Andrew Lloyd Webber song?
"Has the moon lost its memory? I am smiling alone," or something like that. Memory.
Correct.
With no S. A lot of people say memories, but it's memory.
No, it's memory. You are quite Woo-hoo! Right. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Paul, question 25, and to win, Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. Which former captain coached the Australian cricket team from 1986 to 1996?
Oh, not sport. How can you go from musical theatre to sport?
Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. Which former captain coached the Australian cricket team from 1986 to 1996?
A Bob or a Ted, a Robert or a Edward. This is going to be wrong, but Robert Helpman. Right.
Thank you, Paul.
That's me in sport. That's, no worries.
Good effort. Thank you very much. Jack from... that's funny. Jack from Maluka. Hi, Jack.
Oh, good day. And it's Bob Simpson?
Correct. Yes. Yes, if you're into sport, that's right. It was Bob Simpson. You're quite right, Jack. Good on you. Well done. Sometimes you can be lucky, and you were.
It was luck.
Good on you, mate. Yeah. I'll put you on hold. Don't hang up. Dave will get the details from you, and we shall get this out to you. Thanks for the text. Stella from Bayswater. Good. Yes, Robin, thank you. My namesake, Bob Simpson, says Bob from Coolangup. Yes, Cindy and Yokohan, Bob Simpson. Bib from Elaine from Croydon had Bob Simpson as well. Annie in Melbourne. Nice.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.